With dedicated bankers for healthcare, a wide range of experience across specialties, and product solutions for payment management, KeyBank is invested in the success of their clients' businesses. Learn more at key.com/healthcare.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, September 29th. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Social media and other online spaces can lead some people down dark and angry rabbit holes. For some men, that anger, set off in the digital world, can lead to real-life damage. But can these same tactics that pull young men into these politically extreme or sexist parts of the internet be used to pull them out? One group is trying to do just that, and it's received funding from the Department of Homeland Security to do it. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon is going to join us to talk about these efforts. But first, chipmaker NVIDIA's French offices were raided by the country's competition authority this week on suspicion that the company engaged in anti-competitive practices. That's according to people familiar with the matter. The French regulator disclosed the action on Wednesday, but wouldn't say what practices or company it had targeted, beyond saying it was in the graphics card sector. This is the first significant regulatory scrutiny NVIDIA has faced since becoming the foremost supplier of artificial intelligence chips. NVIDIA declined to comment. The CEO of X Corp is predicting the social media platform, formerly known as Twitter, will turn a profit in 2024. Speaking at the Code Conference in California, Linda Yaccarino said X's operating cash flow is nearly breaking even, and that more than 1,500 advertisers have returned to the platform after an earlier pullback by brands. Earlier this month, X owner Elon Musk tweeted that the company's U.S. ad revenue is down 60%, without specifying the time frame. Here's something new to chat with on your phone.
Pretend I'm your best friend. Ask me how my day was.
Of course, friend. How was your day? Did anything interesting or special happen? I'm here to listen.
The first person you heard there was our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. But the second one, that was the voice of ChatGPT. You may have had conversations with the generative artificial chatbot before, but this week, OpenAI announced an update to its iOS and Android apps that allows ChatGPT to talk out loud in 5 different voices. Joanna Stern, who's been speaking with the new ChatGPT, is here to talk to me about it. Joanna, we heard that small clip, but what's it actually like to speak with this AI chatbot?
Well, the interesting thing is we've gotten used to talking to ChatGPT and Bard, these new AI systems that are really conversational. We've gotten used to doing that through text. And when you're texting with these, it really does seem pretty human-like. And now they've paired this with audio and a voice that also sounds eerily like a human. And so when you put those two things together, you really are getting an experience with an AI chatbot or an AI system that we haven't gotten before. That said, there are things that clearly make this very machine-like. The response time is quite slow. OpenAI says that's going to get better and that I was testing an early version of the app. But this is clearly a place where the machine is generating that response, the text response, and then it's using text to speech to say it out loud. And that all can take some time, which makes it really clear that you are talking to a machine and not a human.
Why is OpenAI doing this?
Well, OpenAI's real mission here is to get us to communicate better with computers, with these AI systems. And so this is, again, a more natural way of communicating using our voice. A new feature they've also rolled out is the ability to snap photos and communicate with the chatbot via images versus just typing in text or using our voice.
Joanna, tell me a little bit more about what you hear on OpenAI's app, and will we be hearing this technology anywhere else?
One interesting thing here about why the voice sounds so human-like is that OpenAI actually used humans to create that voice, and they made synthetic voice clones of real human actors. So they got a few seconds of audio from people, they put it through their systems, and then they have a voice that can now do text to speech and sounds like a human. And that's how they've made the voices in their own chatbot. But they are working with other companies, other organizations to bring that text to speech type of capability. And one of them is Spotify. Spotify has said they are going to use OpenAI's text-to-speech technology here to actually make voice clones of some of their popular podcasters so that they can use those voices in other languages or on other types of podcasts where these people don't actually have to say the words. They just type it into the computer and then they say the words.
So more robot voices coming to us soon.
Exactly. That would help us out when we have a cold or we're unable to make the podcast. But you can see where this is going. And it is very cool, but also can be very creepy.
All right. That's our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Coming up, is there a way to rescue young men from rage rabbit holes online? We'll tell you about one effort to meet them where their anger festers. We'll be back in a moment.
As a Citi National client, you get a dedicated team of banking professionals working alongside you. From a relationship manager who works with you on everyday business needs to a business banker who drives your goals into the future. Come in to meet your team at Citi National Bank. See what personal can do for you at cnb.com.
When young men turn to places like YouTube and X, formerly Twitter, looking for male solidarity, what they often find is rage, hostile comments, depictions of the world as stacked against them. And getting swept up in these angry digital spaces can have negative consequences offline, like depression and suicide, even result in violence towards others. But some people think these problems can be addressed using the same online tools that provoked them. Our family and tech columnist Julie Jargon is here to talk about that approach and how it works. Julie, before we get into that, can you just paint us a picture of what this online manosphere is like?
So the manosphere is a broad term for any number of websites, predominantly social media websites, where men find themselves congregating with other men to talk about all different types of men's issues. Some of them can be quite negative. This organization called Diverting Hate has started cataloging some of these different types of websites. And some of the categories include the incel movement, and incel stands for people who are involuntarily celibate. Then there's the men going their own way movement, which promotes the idea that men can live fulfilling lives without women. And then there's this whole pickup artist segment of the manosphere where men give other men advice on how to pick up women and how to keep relationships with women once they are dating women, with some pretty questionable advice.
Have we seen this anger on social media, on these other online spaces, turn into a real world problem? Can you give us some examples?
There have been a couple of high profile situations, and of course, these are extreme examples, but there was a young man who in 2014 killed seven people around the University of California, Santa Barbara, and he had posted a YouTube video in which he vowed to retaliate against women who he says would have rejected him. And he said he was going after sorority houses, and he kind of got this following online as a hero to people who describe themselves as incels. And then in 2018, a man in Toronto drove a van through a crowd. He killed 10 people, and he had pointed to the Santa Barbara killer on Facebook as someone he looked up to.
You know, now there's this group that believes they can stop the anger by using some of the same tools, the same social media platforms that have helped stoke it. Can you tell us a little bit more about their approach?
There's an organization called Diverting Hate, which grew out of a university graduate school research program, and they secured $700,000 in funding from the Department of Homeland Security to enact their program, in which they're trying to target men where they are, which is in these online communities, with posts and tweets that speak to them in the language that they're accustomed to seeing on these sites, and then steering them to men's organizations that they've partnered up with that are trying to help men through positive means find community and therapy if needed.
Do we know how well it's working?
It's still early days. They've just started running these ads and posts over the last 3 months. So far, they've had 700,000 impressions, and 1% of the men who have seen those ads have clicked onto the content, which is actually a pretty decent social media engagement rate. But what they haven't yet measured and what they don't yet know is how many of those men who have clicked through those sites will actually join some of those groups, go on retreats, subscribe to the YouTube channels of more positive content creators, or even seek mental health help.
And what comes next for the group and its efforts?
Well, they're going to continue widening their reach. They have a $60,000 advertising budget for the next 12 months, which is not a huge amount of money to spend, but they feel like that's a start. But they have acknowledged that it's going to be very challenging to get people to join these support groups. And, you know, they're up against social media accounts that have huge followings. So I looked up some of these accounts online, and there was one X account, formerly Twitter, that was dedicated to teaching men how to quickly seduce women. And the last I checked, it had nearly 130,000 followers just on that one account alone.
We're talking about posts online. We're talking about anger online. Your story has gotten quite a lot of comments. As of Wednesday, it was over 900 comments. What have these been like, and how different is that from some of the other stories that you've covered?
That's a lot of comments on one story. If I have, you know, a couple hundred, that's really good in terms of engagement with readers. But in addition to the comments that readers have left directly on the story, there have been a lot of posts on X, and I've received a lot of reader email. And some of that email and some of those comments have been very angry from men who say, you know, that as a woman, I shouldn't be writing about solutions to men's problems. Some are kind of complaints from men about why they feel the world is stacked against them. And it's not really anger directed at me per se, but where they're just kind of voicing their frustration about things in their life that aren't going their way and trying to provide an explanation for why men feel the way they do. I haven't heard from too many women, though, on this one.
All right. That's our family and tech columnist, Julie Jargon. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And before we let you go, we wanted to say RIP to Netflix DVDs. The streaming giant is sending out its final discs today after 25 years. Netflix got its start as a movie-by-mail business, challenging video rental stores like Blockbuster and Hollywood Video. In April, Netflix's co-founder Mark Randolph said in a post that on the first day, the company ran out of mailing labels and scrambled to get orders to the post office in time to meet demand for its services. But fast forward to today, and discs are no longer Netflix's most lucrative segment, though some diehard movie buffs still use the service to order movies that date back to 1910. Guess they'll have to look for the online versions now. All right, that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Anthony Bansi. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Our deputy editors are Scott Salloway and Chris Sinsley. And Falana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back with a new show on Monday. Thanks for listening.